Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Thank you very much. Welcome one and all to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Now, I don't know about you, but I cannot wait for the January 6th committee's live hearings on Thursday in primetime. They are destined to go down in the annals of live TV like the Watergate hearings, the moon landing, and the time Walter Cronkite was swallowed by a python. It's going to be an historic evening, which is why The Late Show will be going live, right there, baby, live after the hearings on Thursday night. Come on! You can't keep us down. You go live, we go live. Come on! I'm tired already.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
I am pre-exhausted. Now, here's the deal. All the major news outfits, CBS, NBC, ABC, MSNBC, CNN, will be covering the hearings live, while the Fox News Channel will stay with its usual primetime lineup. Well, that's actually good. No, it's actually good. We'll hear directly from the people who planned the coup. And Sean can just read his tweets.
Come on, Fox.
We're learning more about what to expect from the hearings this Thursday, thanks to Maryland representative and patient in the dentist waiting room realizing everyone forgot about him and went home. Jamie Raskin.
Come on, Cliff.
Raskin claims that the hearings spell a lot of trouble for former President Frodo Baggins. We all saw the former president fire up that mob and tell them to march on the Capitol to stop the counting. But Raskin says there is more to the story.
The select committee has found evidence about a lot more than incitement here.
Ooh, that is tantalizingly vague. It reminds me of the original title of Breaking Bad, about a lot more than chemistry. Now, part of the former president's plan to overthrow the legitimate results of a free and fair election was to go to the 7 battleground states he lost and just make up alternate slates of electors who would claim he had won their state. Why stop there? Why not just bring in a fake Mike Pence? You could borrow mine. So lifelike. Yesterday we learned the Justice Department has discovered an email from the former president's campaign in Georgia urging fake electors there to use, quote, complete secrecy. Never a sign you're proud of your actions. Here's my resume. Tell no one. The man behind that email was the former president's Election Day head of operations in Georgia. What was his name again? Oh, yeah, Robert Sinners. Finally, a sign from God who the bad guys are. Other people on the email chain were his co-workers, Sonny O'Satan, Ima Jagoff, and Johnny Depp. You've been watching?
I've been watching. Yes, got a lot happening.
Some coup plotters are actually facing serious consequences because yesterday, 5 members of the Proud Boys were indicted for sedition in the Capitol attack, which carries a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison.
I gotta tell you, seeing those guys arrested makes this boy proud.
Now, Now, if you're not familiar with the Proud Boys, that sounds lovely. But as a refresher, they're a far-right, anti-immigrant, all-male group who take their name from an obscure show tune from the Disney musical Aladdin entitled Proud of Your Boy. It was actually their second Disney song choice. Originally, they were the supercalifragilisticexpialidouchebags. The Proud Boys. The Proud Boys have a lot of strange rules, like this one. No heterosexual brother of the fraternity shall masturbate more than one time in any calendar month. That's gonna make those 20 years in prison seem pretty long. But I do. I do understand why they're so angry. I don't get, we were talking about this before, I don't get once a month. I get none. That makes sense. But once a month, as a treat, you know. The Proud Boys are going to be prominently featured during the live hearings on Thursday because the committee intends to present live testimony from a British documentarian who is filming the group with their permission during the riot. Why do you let a film crew follow you while you commit treason? Well, same reason Benedict Arnold commissioned that painting of him handing over the plans. Across the pond, speaking of the Brits, speaking of Benedict Arnold, across the pond, there's news about British Prime Minister and haunted boss baby, Boris Johnson. Bojo's been in trouble ever since it came out that during the pandemic, he threw multiple boozy parties in violation of his own COVID lockdown. It's the biggest prime minister scandal since World War II when the press discovered that sometimes Churchill wasn't drunk. Now, no one in the UK is happy with Johnson, especially not your average Joe six-pint. Right now, Boris's approval rating is down to 29%. Of course, that's 29% metric, so to convert that to imperial, we have to multiply by 9. 29% plus or minus, divided by 5, plus or minus 32. Still better than Biden. Hey, read a newspaper. Now, Bojo's unpopularity hit a low point yesterday when the British Parliament held a no-confidence vote to remove him from office, a vote he survived. Well, of course he did. Just look at him. The man is obviously a survivor of multiple shipwrecks. Now, after...
Yeah.
You got it.
I see it.
Thank you. Thank you, Louis. Back at you. After barely holding on to his job, Johnson still felt absolutely tickety-boo.
I think this is a very good result for politics and for the country. What it means is that as a government, we can move on and focus on the stuff that I think really matters to people.
Yes, the stuff that really matters to people. Like, am I a human man or some sort of grizzled Muppet, part of an elaborate prank by the Jim Henson Creature Shop? I've never seen me from the waist down. Now, let's see. Oh, my. Oh, my. But we'll see how long that optimism lasts, because other prime ministers like Theresa May and Margaret Thatcher also won no-confidence votes, only to resign shortly thereafter. At best, right now, Johnson stands on the precipice of a divided Conservative Party. To which Johnson said, "Party? Where? Apple teenies on me." The economy is still going through some post-pandemic weirdness, and that means more shortages. And this summer could bring a big one because we are facing a lifeguard shortage. And just to be safe, I've spent the last 2 years turning my body into a flotation device. The shortage is affecting a third of public pools nationwide, with some having to reduce hours or close altogether. Oh, no. Now where will kids make classic summer memories, like getting pink eye and accidentally swallowing a Band-Aid. Now, it could get worse. According to an official at the Lifeguard Association, we will have a lifeguard shortage next year. It's going to take years to get out of this. I'm not surprised it's going to take a while. Lifeguards famously travel only in slow motion. Now, it's not just television show.
Yeah, quality show.
It's not just shortages of people, it's also shortages of stuff people use, because apparently the U.S. is experiencing a tampon shortage. The shortage has allowed companies to increase the prices of feminine care products. For example, on Amazon recently, one box of 18 Tampax listed for $114. That is awful. I have a suggestion of where those companies can stick their price gouging. And they might get toxic shock. Now, the supply chain isn't just ruining your jeans, it's also ruining your fun, because there's a helium shortage impacting prom and graduation parties. A helium shortage? I have only one thing to say to that.
I'm sorry I'm ruining your prom, kids. But it was important for me to talk funny on TV.
Coming up, Robert De Niro.
Here's the thing about eating. We all have to do it, sometimes even a few times a day. But if you already have a lot on your plate that isn't food, like stuff to do, figuring out your meals can be stressful. By the time you get breakfast going, it could be lunchtime. And then what? Eat your breakfast for lunch? Is that allowed? Yes, you're a grown-up who can make their own choices. And whether that choice is eating breakfast for every meal or bending to society's construct of proper mealtimes, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals that can be ready in as little as 2 minutes. Tailored to your schedule and weird eating habits, you have the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your cool new breakfast-only lifestyle. You can even try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus, if that's what you're into for breakfast. Or any meal. You do you. Head to factormeals.com/lateshow50 and use code lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code lateshow50 at factormeals.com/lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Late Show, everybody. Folks, our first guest tonight is a two-time Academy Award winner and one of the founders of the Tribeca Film Festival, which returns tomorrow for its 21st year. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Robert De Niro. It is so nice to have you back. You really class up a place.
Well, that's very, very nice of you.
I'm a very nice person.
You are.
Thank you.
You are.
Yeah. You evidently just noticed that I'm a nice person.
No, I've known that for a while. I've always liked you.
How have you been? I haven't talked to you in person. You were on COVID over Zoom.
Yeah, yeah.
But I haven't seen you in person in a couple of years. How are you holding together?
Everything's moving along. It's really nice that it's over. Hopefully it's
sure.
getting,
Hopefully.
Becoming over.
Yeah. We've been fooled a couple times before.
Yeah.
But what about, like, I know that you have a fair amount of, you have emotions about politics. You have thoughts, of course, first. Those stir emotions. I know you have some anxiety about the state of politics in the United States. Having a new guy at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, have you sleep any better at night?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, he got us into calm waters. That was always the idea.
Yeah.
He's doing a very good job. It's a tough one. I couldn't imagine. I could imagine how difficult it is. I have decisions in my own personal life that I imagine that what he goes through is 100 times that.
Yeah.
And so, no, he's doing the best he can, and we got to get through a bad period. Yeah. Period.
Yeah, yeah. It's graduation season. One thing you and I have had in common, we've done a couple of graduation commencement addresses over the years.
Yes.
What advice do you like to give? I gave some advice tonight. I just told a young lady over here, I said, don't worry, it's not going to help. And I'm curious, what kind of advice would you like to have gotten?
I think I got, you can't give advice really at the end of the day. You're out there on your own. And I guess.
That's the advice. You're on your own.
You are out
Good
there.
Good luck.
I tell any actor, I tell my own kids this, but if you're reading for something, just assume you're not going to get the part. And that'll free you, if anything. It'll free you to make a bolder choice, maybe. And what'll happen, it's more important than even the director watching you do the reading. It's the casting director, because they work with directors all the time. So if they see you do something that's kind of interesting and bold, they'll tell the director of another project they're working on, well, maybe, you know, this actor's not quite what you're looking for, but they're interesting, you should meet them.
Yeah.
And you never know what happens, so. Yeah. But I always
he's
say-
He's got this interesting quality, this actor, where he doesn't look like he thinks he's gonna ever have anything good happen for
That's
him.
Right. That's right.
Did you really do that when you were a young actor? Go in and say, I'm not going to get this?
No, it's not so easy. But you do just assume that you're not going to get it. I've read for things over and over and over again, and I've done it every which way to the point of absurdity. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, they just wanted somebody. I wasn't quite right no matter how you sliced it. So they got somebody with a name value, and that's understandable.
Robert De Niro doesn't have...
No, not then.
Oh,
not
that then. This is...
When I was in my early 20s.
Old, young Robert De Niro, yeah. Did you get... You got a lot of rejection?
Yeah, but I never looked at it as rejection. I just looked at it as, well, let me move on. Mm-hmm.
Was there anything like, one of those famous stories, or maybe not famous because I haven't heard it yet, were any, famous parts that you read for and they... You didn't get, were you supposed to be James Bond or Han Solo or any of that stuff?
No, I read for Bang the Drum Slowly. I don't know who's aware of that movie. Yeah. I did it 4 years ago.
Extraordinary. Yeah.
And I read for the director a few times. Then I read for the producer a few times. Then I read for the producer's wife.
Very important.
And the whole, I read about 7 times. And I went from one part to the other part, which is fine. It wasn't the original part I read for, but it was the other lead, and if you will. So that happens. You just have to say, that's it. I come back. I read again.
I don't know if you had this experience. When I was younger and was a struggling actor, trying to really be an actor, and as opposed to whatever this is, and not sure how to define what this is that I always felt like when I was working, of course I'm going to keep working. I'm a working actor. But at the minute I wasn't working, I'll never work again. That was the feeling. That was the anxiety.
I don't know why I didn't have that feeling. I just didn't.
Bob, I'm getting the feeling you didn't have a lot of feelings.
I didn't have any feelings.
You're dead inside.
I was dead inside. So I just, I just walked through it all. No, I just, are always looking for the next thing, hoping it's the excitement of something new coming along. Mm-hmm. Not like you had a job and then all of a sudden, what am I going to do next? I always felt very optimistic. I don't know why, I just did.
Wow. When I was 29 years old and I had a new wife, a new baby, and I had no job, I had lost my job, my mom called and said, are you worried? And I said, Mom, I got to tell you, Evie doesn't have a job. I don't have a job. We got a brand new baby. And I don't know why, but I'm not worried. And there was a long pause. And she said, I don't know why either. And from that moment, there's always been a little ice chip right here. We have to take a quick break. But when we come back, I will ask Robert De Niro about a reunion of the cast and director of Heat at the Tribeca Film Festival.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to super fans, to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods too by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Hey, everybody, we're back with Mr. Robert De Niro. Hey, tough guy, let me ask you this.
Let me just tell you something. I know you kid around and all that, but I'm not a tough guy. But one thing I am is a concerned citizen. And... And as I joked with you once about it was my civic duty, I think it was with you when I used to do SNL, the Mueller character.
Yeah.
I'm very concerned about what's going on, and as we all are now. So I'm not an activist, I'm not this, I'm just somebody who is very concerned, and I think any person who is in this country, a citizen, should be concerned. Some don't agree with me and the people sitting here, but it's, they have to get out and vote and really do the right thing. That's it. Gotta do it.
That's true. Well, the Tribeca Film Festival starts tomorrow. Congratulations, 21st season.
Yeah.
You founded it. In 2002, did you have any sense that it would become what it is, a major film festival?
No, we just did it that year. We didn't know where it was going to go after that, and it slowly... it.
And this is in the shadow of 9/11,
yes.
Where nobody's going, you know, downtown.
Yeah. Well, that was the idea, to revitalize downtown, and that was the idea. And then each year, it would we'd get it going again, and people wanted to come. So,
what are some of the highlights this year?
We're having a Heat reunion toward the end of the festival.
This I knew.
Well, there you
go. Michael Mann, Al Pacino, De Niro and Al Pacino. There's a famous scene right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're, I'm introducing Al Pacino for Godfather. That's the day before, I think.
What do you remember about making Heat? Mind if I ask?
Yeah, sure.
Tell me, this is a classic. People love this movie. What do you remember about making this?
Well, it was a hard work, a lot of work. Michael Mann is a guy who really is a stickler for detail and certain things, and he would have you do things more and more than, say, the normal typical situation, but you knew that something was special about why he was doing it, what he was doing. It created a certain feeling that, you know, you knew it was going to be something.
How many takes are we talking here?
125 each. Wow. No, I'm kidding.
No, but Kubrick, evidently Kubrick would do that.
No, a normal amount of takes, but certain things are just very careful about how to. It was all good. It was all as it should be.
What do you want a director to be giving you as an actor? Because some people say, just let me do my thing.
Well, they give you what you want. They've hired you, first of all, so already they know what you can basically give them. And then they let you do what you do, and then they guide you. If you're a little over here, they pull you over, or they let you go over there, and they'll just cut it out in the editing. Yeah. So, and that's okay.
Sure,
you know,
at least,
you know, sometimes you say to a director, well, look, I'll do it the way you want, and then let me just try this or that, or not mm-hmm. say the way you want, because most directors that I've worked with, really good ones, they just don't even do that. So you do it a few ways, and then they decide. I say, you see what really works once you're in the editing. Mm-hmm. It's that simple.
Is there a co-star that you have most enjoyed working with?
I tell you who I enjoyed working with a lot. There are many, of course, but I enjoyed working with Michelle Pfeiffer a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I enjoyed working a lot with her. I only worked twice with her, but right. I enjoyed it a lot when we worked together. She was terrific.
I want to ask about Ray Liotta, who just recently passed.
Yes.
You know, obviously people, you know, associate you guys from the classic Goodfellas. Is it true that you kind of pitched for him to play Henry Hill there, that you kind of had to not talk Scorsese into it, but you were a real booster for him for that part?
Yeah, I mean, I told Marty I saw him in the Jonathan Demme film.
Something Wild.
Something Wild. I said, this guy you should look at. He's terrific in the movie. And so how much of an influence that was on Marty, I don't know, but that's what I said.
What was it about him that made you feel like he played good?
He just had a great quality, if you will.
Sure.
And he was right for the part, if you wanted to cast it that way. And Marty had seen people. I know, I don't know who, but I know he went through everybody and chose Ray. So that was great.
It was a good choice.
Yeah.
It was a good choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Before last time you were here in 2019 in person, I meant to give you something, and I didn't get a chance to. I just escaped my mind. But one of my writers, Caroline Lazar, always puts together what she calls today's hunk. She puts together a today's hunk, and you've won every award that there is, man. 2-time Oscar winner, but you've never won today's hunk. And I just want to present this to you right now. Mm. Here it is. It's today's hunk, Robert De Niro. You talking to me? You talking to me? Only in my dreams. Call me Bobby. Congrats, you hunky motherfucker.
Jesus.
There you go. I just wanted you to have that.
Wow.
I wanted you to have that. You can put that up on... You can put that up on your refrigerator or something. Yeah.
No.
Anything you'd like to say?
No, I'm honored.
Mm-hmm. It's an honor just to be hunky.
Yeah, I never thought of myself this way, but, you know, I'll take it.
Let me hold on a second. Hold on. And maybe we'll edit this out later, but have you never thought of yourself as a sex symbol? Whatever that means, but you know what I mean.
No.
You never thought of yourself as sexy?
Not in, no.
Is, let's take a show, let's by applause. Is Robert De Niro sexy? Hold on. Am I sexy? Wait a second. Yours was definitely louder than mine. How old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
78. You're gonna be 79.
That gives me only... that only gives me 20 years to get sexier.
Hey, listen.
Well, Bob, it was good to see you.
Good seeing you. Always good to see you.
Please.
This has been The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on Wondery Plus, starting May 1st.